Thank you for taking the time to listen to our weekly service. This is a listener-supported ministry, and we ask that you pray and see what God would have you give. Now let's get to our sermon for today.
We're about to finish studying about tribulation and what comes next. We have learned what will happen in the future as we look forward to the rapture and then the start of the tribulation. And you know, it's not pretty. I mean, a lot of bad things are going to happen. I mean, in the sense of people dying and things like that, rebelling against God, as we've learned so far. And many people are going to be led down the wrong path. And what gets just, I can never get over the fact that at the end of a perfect reign of 1,000 years, as the sands of the sea, that's how many people are going to not get be saved and go towards Satan. That to me is mind-boggling. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, it says this: "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." My goal always is to teach you the Bible and what it teaches, and sometimes what you hear is not what you want to hear, or you don't necessarily want to hear it. Last week we talked about a church in this town where the pastor has been changing things about the Bible. Fred was kind enough to send me the article. I wasn't expecting it, and I read it, and it scared the living daylights out of me. And he took a Jewish friend that told him that there's, you know, about the word command in the Hebrew and all, but if you do deeper research in it, you'll find he was partially right, but the whole thought process was wrong. And what scares me is this pastor didn't take the time to go in and verify what that guy said is true or not. And that he's changing, and you have thousands and thousands of people listening to this preacher. And if he's bad in this area, how many more areas is he misleading people? And people today got too many churches that are feel-good churches that are misleading people in the wrong direction. And it just got a hold of me, and it was an eye-opener for me that he took what he took there and just didn't verify, didn't go in and check and make sure. God just got, huh?
He got fired.
Yeah. But he got fired for another reason, not for the scriptural part. See, I'm talking about the scriptural piece here. But, and this, I want to warn you to be careful, even with me, that you, it's your duty to make sure I'm preaching the word. You need to make me accountable. That when you see something or hear something that didn't just sound right, you need to come to me at the end of service and say, "I'm not sure. You know, I don't know the script." It's not that you have to be an expert. You need to get that answered. And maybe I can recall two mistakes I've made that where I had to come back and say, "No, I was wrong. Somehow I just didn't study it right," or whatever. And I don't mean to, but I'm human just like you are, and so are these pastors out there. But what bothers me is when people hear him, what he said in that pulpit, and there wasn't a mass exiting from the church. And it wasn't. Which tells me that they're not being taught properly to begin with. I went as far as to go on YouTube. I wanted to hear some preaching. I didn't find the preaching because everything I found was singing. But Fred said there is preaching there. But anyhow, I was looking at the stage. The stage looks like something you would turn on a TV. It's all lit up in a theatrical thing. And I said to myself, they're just being entertained every week there. They get there, they're entertained. They feel good. And they walk out and they feel good. And nothing ever changes inside their body. God warns us here, let no man deceive you. Today, we have many pastors going down the wrong path. And we've got to be really careful with these people that are entertaining or telling you you can be wealthy, you can be this and you can do that, and they're misleading. They take some truth. There's always truth based on some of this, but then they go to La La Land. I don't know what word to use, and head in the wrong direction. Everyone should be coming to church to learn the Bible and what it teaches. It is not about the preacher why you come to a service. It's not about the building. And it's not about the people that are there. It's about you and your personal relationship with God. That's what it's all about. Many preachers today teach social things. They teach racism, about that. And I see it on TV all the time. Problems with the government and all that. Everything but what the Word of God teaches. They throw some in, I guess. But 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14 says this. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. I've known that for a long time, but the second part of this really caught me this time in verse 15. There is no great thing. Angel of light. Therefore, there is no great thing if his ministers, Satan's ministers now is talking about, are also transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Satan has got a whole army of people pretending to be godlike, pretending to be ministers of God, and they're out there preaching in pulpits. They hold, what do you want to say, important positions. And we have to be very, very careful. And people jump the bandwagon with them and don't take the time to study, and they end up doing things biblically wrong. And then you jump into, here's another one in Ephesians 4:14. It says that henceforth be no more children. Now God's talking to us as Christians. Don't be any more children tossed to and fro. And a young child, that's what happens. I can easily manipulate my grandkids that when they're young. They're easily manipulated one way or the other, for good or for bad. And he says, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. We are to grow to the point where someone tells us something contrary to the Word of God, we would know the difference. It doesn't mean that you may learn the Bible so well and all, but we ought to thrive. But at least you might know something doesn't seem right. Question it. I don't care if it's me. I don't care if it's another preacher or someone witnessing or talking to you. I had someone knock at the door Saturday when I was waiting for my wife to come back. I looked at her and I don't feel like talking to them. They finally went away. I've witnessed and witnessed and witnessed to them, but they don't want to hear you. They don't want to listen to you. We need to be careful that we just don't walk in and listen to anybody preaching and take it. I don't care how good the church is or what. We got to be careful. Everybody needs to be accountable. You may know what is the right. You may not know what it is at that moment, but you know something might be wrong. And what's good is, even if you came and it turned out to be nothing, at least you tried. At least you investigated it to make sure. What if you were right? What if you felt it wasn't right and you found out, hey, guess what? I made a mistake, or any preacher, anybody. And this is one reason why we should be growing every week, not just once in a while. God tells us in verse 3, let no man deceive you. And in Matthew chapter 24:4, it says, Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and I shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumor of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not near, or not yet. Christ says people are going to come in his name. Now, I remember, I never get his name right. Sung Mun Moon. Yamun, yeah. He said he was Jesus Christ reincarnated. I heard him say that. But you got other people coming in the name of Christ. saying this and that, and they're misleading people by the thousands and thousands the wrong direction. The word may be, the word here is many. I don't know if you picked up on that. The word many, it says here, many shall come. This is going to be a big thing. It's going to cross the United States. Well, it's happening now anyhow. I mean, and people are being flocked and going the wrong direction. Lots of preachers today are using the church for the wrong reason. Let no man deceive you. And then he says there's going to be a falling away. The organized church is going to depart from the faith. Now, we knew that at the end of tribulation. It specifically mentioned the church and how wicked it was. They were crucifying the Christians. The church was. That's how wicked it got. Well, Christ said it at our theme verse there that this must take place before the end. That the falling away must take place. And that, what just got me is when we talked about this preacher there, and it just got really a hold of me about this and this falling away. We got to be careful. We have learned a lot in Revelations. But here's the key. What happened in Revelations didn't happen overnight. It was a slow progression. And I believe we're living in the progression right now. I don't know when, and I'm not a date setter for the tribulation, but I believe it's close. I believe the rapture of the church is close. Whether it's in my lifetime or not, I don't know. But I do believe it's close, and everything that you see seems to be heading that direction. I don't want to see the United States go the direction it's going right now. I hope we get a different president in there. But you got to understand one thing. Is this the only thing that keeps me going? God's in control. And number two, it's got to get worse before the rapture takes place. We already know through the study of what takes place in in tribulation, it's going to get really bad. And that doesn't happen overnight. So it has to be a progression, and we're living in that progression right now. Why? Look in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. But it says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." God's aware of everything that's going on and what's going to go on. He knows. And God, in His grace and mercy, has permitted a lot of this stuff to take place. And still, as we've seen all the way through the tribulation, God continually makes it available for people to come to know Him, to turn from their wicked ways to Him. And yet, you know, your neighbor, your fellow workers, people you've known for a lifetime, will turn into the wrong direction. Yes, even your closest friend may fall away and get caught up into the false teachings. But remember, the people to get into this are going to be people that are unsaved. Now, a Christian can get caught up. They're not going to lose their salvation. But they can be caught and drawn away. You know, not away from salvation. Don't get me wrong. What I'm referring to is backsliding. Somebody that's fighting finances or whatever and keeps hearing someone say, if you do this and you do that, God's going to bless you. How many here remember Reverend Ike? I brought his name up once or twice out of Georgia. He was at least honest. He would say, if you want money, send me money. If you don't send me money, you're not going to get any money. At least he was honest about it, even though he was crooked. He became a multimillionaire preaching that. And people sent him money in hopes that God was going to send money back to them. And you got a lot of prosperity preaching going on right now. We got to be careful because it's around us. It's going to be people we know. And we got to be really careful. And to me, it ought to scare us enough to where I want to know more about the Word of God. I want to know more about what's coming. And I tell you what, I never thought of it at the time, but I'm convinced now that one of the best things we've ever done is go through the tribulation and this, because we may be a part at least the beginning with the rapture and all, knowing what's coming and all. Yes, these people look and they act like Christians. That's the next thing you got to remember. I'll never forget, and I wish I could remember who the preacher was, but it was a TV evangelism where every Sunday he preached a great message. I had a guy that listened to him, always telling me great. And finally, he thought it was so good, he decided to go on his website. He downloaded the doctrinal statement, and it blew him away how corrupt he really was. And think about this. It says wolves in sheep clothing in the Bible. What can I get you to bring you into my church? Preach the truth. Once you get there, then I got you, and I'll preach what I want. How else is it? If you hear something that's not true, that's not going to make you come to that church, is it? If you want to write this down, the answer to this is Luke chapter 8, verses 5 through 15. A lot of you, this is familiar. This is where the seeds fall on different types of grounds. Helps you understand how one person can reject the word. How one person can be so close to becoming a Christian and not become a Christian. Have the appearance of a Christian and not be saved. I've met two people in my lifetime that at first I thought were saved, and I realized afterwards weren't born. And the one, I never actually asked him about salvation. I just assumed he was saved. And that boy would go out and witness to people and do everything with us. And he just got caught up in the Christian thing. He just thought it was a neat thing to do. But he never accepted Christ. And afterwards, when things weren't going his way, he went in the true direction. And I sat there and went, that was my first experience. His name was Tex. But I don't think any of you knew him. But this was a long time ago, 18, 20 years ago. But it really taught me something, that someone can do that and not really be saved. It just blew me away. But if you take time to go through that, and if you use a concordance, it'll lead you to other places and all. But that's a really neat thing about using the seed and planting it, and how it, what prevents it from coming up. Or it may come up and something may kill it. Or maybe it gets up and gets pretty good and still doesn't get saved. And then it talks about the seed that actually technically does get saved. And I don't mean the seed, but it's referring to people. But it reuses the illustration of a seed. Now, this is a scary but true. God tells us, and back in Ephesians 4:14, again, that henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. Think about that. If you're not growing, you're still a child. And then in other parts of Scripture, it says we should be eating meat when we're what? Still drinking the milk. We're not growing as Christians when you should be growing and eventually getting off the bottle and getting into meat, the meat of the Word of God. We are not to be content with what we know. You got to be thriving to learn more and more. So when somebody does say something wrong, you can pick up on it. At least know something's fishy. But we keep on learning, so not to be deceived. And that is why it's so important for each of us to know the Bible. Why is it? Think about this a minute. Why is it people will follow a lie before they will follow the truth? You ever notice that? People are so easily swayed to follow a lie. And here's another thing I've noticed. For the most part, following a lie is harder. Requires work. It blows me away that people are convinced to drink Kool-Aid that are poisoning it. Or the ones that were in California waiting for a flying saucer or something to come and pick them up. Now, we all laugh at that, but those people were serious.
Yeah.
And then what was the last thing I remember that took place? What was it?
The one preacher.
The one that was getting the money, and then when it didn't happen by that certain day, and then he changed it to another day.
Yeah. And then he died.
Is that what happened? He died? Yeah. I was down in Daytona when that was taking place, and I remember that was a big topic down there. And But people keep following them. What do you think of whatever the number is, 20 or 30,000 people listening to this preacher? It blows me away. That's 30,000 people being misled. And that breaks my heart. I'm telling you, it does. And I'm trying to just get the people here at A-Bait and all that in the biking world. And yet, if I get up and preach the wrong thing, have the type of music and all, and I can fill this place. Well, I mean, well, we can have a big building. We can have it all. Just like Don... I don't want to mention last names because it's on the thing here. But when Don told me the one church he went to in town, and the preacher was up on the top with all the congregation, he was on the roof while they were doing something in the parking lot. They had some picnic or something. And he said, and he was saying to him, he said, look what I've done. Look what I did this. Nothing to do with God. Nothing to do with anything else. And he told me, because he was on staff or something at one point, that he will spend any amount of money to bring people in. And that's what he does. And he's brought people in. And he's a mega church. But I heard it from the horse's mouth. We need to be careful. We are witnessing a great falling out of people going the wrong direction, and we must be careful not to ever get caught up into it. We need to be careful not to be deceived, because we can be deceived. And remember what I'm pretty sure it's Ephesians or Galatians, where it says, Paul says that he's afraid that the Judaizers were leaving the grace. And he says you're following another gospel. And that gospel is so close to the original one that if you don't know the gospel, you'd be misled. We got to be very careful that we don't get deceived. Let's pray.
We pray that we have been a blessing to you. For further assistance, call us at 864-270-1472 anytime. Send email to info@stlmm.org or visit our website at www.stlmm.org. Like any ministry, it costs money to operate. Please consider supporting this ministry as God leads you with your prayers and your financial gifts by going to www.stlmm.org and clicking on donations.